I am laying my hand on people as I move along, reaching out and touching them. That day, my soul left my body and I was in a different world, a out on the street with those that were suffering. Slowly, I came back to myself in the store. I realized I was clinging on to the bar of a clothes rail so tightly that my hands had gone very red. The shop was so silent. The next moment, a young girl burst through the shop doors screaming and shouting in a terrified state. She ran about the shop screaming that bombs had gone off, that there were bodies everywhere. She was looking for her sister who worked with me in the department store. Somehow, the two sisters met and the young woman started to calm down. Then one of the management staff went to the office and, using the microphone, announced that all staff were to meet at the back entrance of the store in 5 minutes to be taken home. I knew it was all over. There would be no more bombs going off in Dublin that day. As I went down the stairs to the cloakroom, an angel whispered in my ear to go back to the telephone at the staff entrance and ring my mum. So I turned around and walked back towards the phone, made my call, spoke to mum and told her I was okay. I hung up, ran downstairs and grabbed my coat. All the other staff were already coming up the stairs, heading for the back entrance of the store. The delivery trucks were lined up and each of the drivers called out the different destinations they would be driving to. I climbed into the van that was going in the direction of Joe's mother's house. I was dropped at the door. Inside they were watching the TV news. Joe's mum hugged me and said she had been worried about me. We had a lovely cup of tea and I started to feel better. Then dinner was put in front of me. I was so hungry I felt I had not eaten for weeks. Then Joe arrived home and threw his arms around me. Everybody in the house was in tears, feeling the pain of all the families that had lost loved ones and all of those who had been hurt. As a result of the bombs in Dublin that day, to the 17th of May 1974, 26 people and an unborn baby died and hundreds more were injured. Living in the Republic of Ireland, we had had little experience of the horrors of war, up to that day, but in Northern Ireland, less than 200 miles away, more than 3,000 people were killed over the period from 1969 to 2000. Until then, we had little idea what it was like for those people in Northern Ireland, or in any other part of the world, to live with bombs going off without warning. Angel Elijah once said to me, "It is easy to make war, peace is the hardest thing to keep. You think that going to war puts you in control. You forget who gave you the power in the first place, and that he can take control at any time." For a long time after the bombs went off, my body and soul were hit by shockwaves, spiritually, physically and emotionally. I could feel the terror of those who were hurt and those who had died, and the shock of the families and friends. I could hear their voices, their crying. For months, faces would appear in front of me. Not only the faces of those who had died, but also of those who were seriously injured and trying to stay alive and the faces of their heartbroken families. I was tormented by the horror of that day. The angels did what they could to protect me as those shockwaves blasted me. They wrapped me in what felt like a blanket. It felt so soft around me, like feathers, and it was snow white with what I would call an electrical charge running through it, sparking all the time. It was huge. I was amazed by its size. Angel Elijah held my head in his hands, saying, "Lorna, we know this is hurting you. We have wrapped a blanket around you to help make it more bearable. It helps to keep your body and soul together." Then Elijah blew on my face and disappeared, and I felt a little stronger. The days and weeks passed. I would still have to find places to hide where I could cry. Sometimes, during my lunch hour, I would go to the car park. When I knew there was no one in the loo at work, I would hide there. On other occasions I walked through the back streets to find a corner or an old wall where I could sit. Many times I told the angels I wanted to be alone. On one of these occasions, Angel Elijah appeared. He would not leave me alone. Again, he took my face in his hands. Then Angel Elijah and I seemed to become one. It was as if I was seeing through his eyes. I was seeing all the horror of the world, the wars, the hunger, The mistreatment of human beings by other human beings. My soul screamed in pain. Then Angel Elijah showed me the other side. The wonderful love, laughter and joy and all that is good in humanity. I laughed and tears of joy rolled down my cheeks. When Angel Elijah disappeared, I continued crying tears of joy. I walked back to work that day knowing that every man, woman and child has that good, that love, that joy inside of them. I believe one day it will overcome all the bad and the human race will evolve triumphantly, body and soul united. Chapter 11. The Angel of Mother's Love. I used to babysit every couple of weeks for my Uncle Paddy and his wife Sarah. They had three little girls and lived in Walkinstown, in the suburbs of Dublin. I would take the bus directly from work to their house, stay overnight and go straight to work the following morning. The kiddies were lovely, gorgeous little girls, so I never minded looking after them. It gave my uncle and aunt an opportunity to get some time away, even if they only went to the pictures. This particular evening, I was on my way to babysit and as I sat on the bus, lost in my thoughts, I was disturbed by an old lady who tapped me on the knee. "Young lady," she said, "your smile is filling me with happiness." Just then, everybody started to stand up. I said goodbye to the old lady as the bus pulled into Walkinstown. While I was babysitting that evening, the doorbell rang. I wasn't expecting anyone and I hoped the doorbell would not wake the children. When I opened the door, I was surprised to see Joe standing in front of me. "Close your eyes, no peeping," Joe said as he led me down the garden path to the gate. "Now, open your eyes." Surprise. Parked in front of us was a beautiful dark green Ford Escort. Joe was so happy. His first car. "Joe, where did you buy the car from?" I asked. "One of the car dealers that comes into your DA's garage," Joe replied. "I told him 2 weeks ago that I was thinking of buying a car, and then this morning he arrived with this." "Your DA and the mechanic checked out the car with me and said it was a bargain." I gave Joe a big hug, I was so excited myself about it. He opened the car door and I sat inside. It was fabulous. I said to Joe, "You'd better go now. Pick me up after work tomorrow in your new car." I waved goodbye to Joe as I closed the door. Having the car gave us great freedom, and I always loved the long evenings in the summertime. One of the places Joe and I often visited on those long evenings was Selbridge House. We would walk along the banks of the river and sit watching men fishing, children swimming and parents holding the hands of toddlers as they paddled in the shallow water. I would also watch angels rising out of the water, seeing the water clinging to them as they soared high into the air before descending back into the water next to a child. Some angels had wings, some didn't, but the angels seemed to spin around the children having just as much fun. I loved to see a child splashing water in the direction of an angel, other splashes of water hitting the angel and it splashing back, and hear the laughter of the angels mingling with the children's laughter, to see a child dive under the water and an angel do the same thing at the same time was wonderful. One time, the angels formed a circle around a group of children, beams of light, full of colors, gold, silver and white, reflected from the angels. Then the beams of light turned into balls of all sizes, dancing on and under the water and through the air. On one of the balls, an angel was riding. It was astonishing to see this angel's wings, feathers dripping with water, the golden hair wet with water. Another time, the angels swung their heads from side to side, moving their wings simultaneously, splashing sparkling raindrops of silver and gold. One day, sitting there by the river, I saw a wonderful example of the way angels care for us. I watched a mother and a little child, maybe about 18 months old, at the edge of the river. The little child was full of excitement at the water running over his feet and the mother had her hands around his waist, trying to teach him to get his balance and to stand on his own. Sometimes she took her hand away, to see how long he could keep his balance and not fall. I watched the child's guardian angel sitting in the water under him. The child's legs became a little wobbly and he went down. The mother couldn't catch the child in time, but the angel did. As the child went splashing into the water, he landed right into his angel's lap in a sitting position. Instead of crying, he started to splash the water and laugh. I smiled at this. Joe asked me, "What are you smiling so happily about?" I smiled at him and said nothing, so yet again I passed up the opportunity to let Joe know a little of what I could see. He was the only person I shared anything of my life with, but I was afraid to tell him about the angels in case he would think I wasn't all there. "Let's walk further along the riverbank," Joe suggested. He got up and started to walk ahead of me, and an angel whispered in my ear about angels helping us to do everything we do in life. Even walking, breathing, talking and laughing, they are always helping us with every physical action we make with our human bodies. Angels also help us to sort out problems within our own minds, all the questions we have. All the time they are whispering to us, putting answers into our minds and thoughts, but most of the time we are so busy asking questions that we don't stop to listen for the answers. I heard Joe calling, "Hurry up," so I ran and caught up with him. Walking along the riverbank in Selbridge, we had got to know an elderly couple. Their names were John and Mary, and we met them quite often as they walked their dog, Toby, a Heinz variety mongrel, but very lovable. The couple had lived in Selbridge all their lives and had just celebrated their 30th wedding anniversary. Their children were grown up and had left home, and now they had all this time to themselves, which they were cherishing. One evening we met them and stopped to talk. Towards the end of the conversation, John said to Joe in a mischievous tone, "When are you going to propose to this young lady?" I blushed. I was so embarrassed I didn't know where to look. I didn't dare look at Joe, so I don't know how he reacted. Mary said, "Don't be embarrassing the young couple." She took John's hand and started to walk on. Joe and I walked on further up along the river and sat on some rocks. I took my runners and socks off and put my feet into the water. Joe suddenly got up off the rock and stepped fully clothed into the water and got down on one knee. The river was about 1 foot deep and Joe was on one knee in a strong current. He was really wet. I giggled. "I am trying to be serious," he said. "I want to propose marriage to you." He had one of his hands on my knee, trying to keep his balance. "Will you, Lorna, accept my proposal of marriage?" All I could do was laugh. I laughed so much that I fell off the rock into the water. Joe caught me in his arms and we were both soaked. We were both roaring with laughter. As Joe helped me to my feet, I said, "Yes." I was laughing too much to say anything more. We climbed back up onto the riverbank and we were still laughing, squeezing the water out of our clothes. Thanks be to God it was a warm evening. As we were walking back along the riverbank, Joe stopped. "I have to ask your DA for your hand in marriage. What if he says no?" I thought for a moment and, remembering what the angels had always said about Joe and me getting married, I said, "Don't worry, DA will not say no. I know he will be happy for us." As we walked back along the riverbank, people passing gave us funny looks. A child said to its mother, "Mummy, they must have fallen into the river because all their clothes are wet." A group of men fishing shouted at us about going for a swim with all our clothes on. We must have looked like drowned rats. We waved to them and laughed. Just then, a thought dawned on me. "I hope the keys for the car are still in your pocket and not on the riverbed." Joe put his hand into his pocket and shook his head. "We must have lost them back up the river where he had proposed to me." "Okay, give you a race. Let's see who gets the first and finds the keys," I said, as I started to run. Joe called me and I stopped and looked back. There he was, standing with the keys dangling from his fingers and laughing at me. I ran back to him and grabbed the keys, saying, "Race you back to the car." Joe reached the car before I did, not surprisingly, seeing Joe's legs were twice the length of mine. As we drove back to my home, Joe and I talked about our wedding. We decided we would say nothing to anyone until Joe had talked to DA. When we reached our house, Joe would not come. He said he would be embarrassed to be seen in wet clothes. We kissed goodnight and he drove off, The next day at work, just before lunchtime, Aunt Sarah came into the store and asked me if I would babysit for her again that evening. It was unusual for her to come into the store like that, and it was clear that they were very anxious to go out. I agreed, even though that was the evening we had decided Joe would talk to DA. Aunt Sarah was delighted. She told me herself and Uncle Paddy were looking forward to having dinner and going to a show afterwards. I promised I'd be at her house as early as I could be. We said goodbye and, as I watched my aunt leaving the department store, she was beaming, with light all around her. I knew she was happy. When lunchtime came, I went to the back entrance of the department store to use the payphone. I rang the garage and when DA answered the phone I said, "Hi, DA, can I talk to Joe? Joe is outside." "I'll call him," DA replied. I could hear excitement in my DA's voice. I said to him, "You sound very happy today." My DA gave a little laugh and said, "Here's Joe." I spoke to Joe for a few minutes and told him that my aunt needed me to babysit that evening. I asked Joe whether he had talked to DA about our getting married. "No," he said. "I'll leave it until tomorrow. I'll pick you up after work, we will talk and then go to your house about 9 and I'll talk to your DA and ask him for your hand in marriage." "Joe," I could hear an excitement in DA's voice when I was speaking to him just now, "are you sure he doesn't know anything?" "No, I haven't talked to him, or anyone else," said Joe, "but your DA is in a great mood today. Maybe he has had some good news." "I hope DA can't hear you now," I said. "No, he's gone out to the mechanic. Someone came into the office just then, so we said our goodbyes and hung up. I had an hour for my lunch, so I planned to go out to enjoy the beautiful sunshine. When I turned to walk away from the payphone, I bumped into an angel and then I stepped into her. She was all around me, she was big, huggable and beautiful. It was the angel of mother's love. She had hugged me many times before as a child, but this time the feeling was stronger than ever. The angel of mother's love is round like the sun and enormous in size. Her wings are wrapped around her but opened out, a little like a mother hen. Her arms are always ready to embrace you in a big hug. Her coloring mingles green and white, and this time there was a hint of pink. She is translucent and you can see a very bright light reflecting from within her, but you cannot see through her. Her face radiates love, her eyes are big like saucers, sparkling with the light of mother's love, and she has wonderful soft curls of creamy white hair. She radiates hugs of love all the time. She is so huggable that you want to fall into her arms and hug her, and be hugged by her. No matter how much love you receive from your own mother, if you have a mother, this angel always enhances a mother's love. That day I was worried about my mother's reaction to Joe and me getting married, and the angel of mother's love knew I needed to feel a mother's love at that time, to feel more love, perhaps, than my mother was able to give me. I was so happy and excited about our engagement that I constantly had a smile on my face. Valerie asked, "What's up? You seem very happy." She kept badgering me all day, trying to get my secret out of me. Towards the end of the day, when we were sorting a rail of trousers together, she blurted out, "I know. You and Joe are getting engaged. That's it." I blushed. "SHH, it's a secret," I said to her. "Don't tell the others." I didn't want anyone to know until I had a ring, but I was still pleased to be given the chance to tell someone. "Where's your ring?" she asked. "We don't have one yet, that is what I am trying to tell you. Joe and I haven't looked yet. Maybe in the next few weeks, I don't know. We've many things to work out. Joe has to talk to DA first. Promise you won't say anything to the other girls. You'll be the first to see the ring and make a wish." Valerie agreed. We stayed the chatting and sorting clothes for a little while and then she went off to do the till. She kept looking over at me with a grin on her face, but she didn't say anything to anyone. After work I got the bus to my aunt's house to babysit. On the way, I asked the angels not to let my excitement show, as I didn't want Aunt Sarah or Uncle Paddy asking questions. The angels kept me very calm and they never noticed anything. The next morning I got the bus to work. The morning seemed to be very long, so at lunchtime I went for a walk around the back streets and lanes around the department store. I always found these back streets an oasis, a place where I could get my thoughts together, to be by myself, to escape for a brief moment from whatever the angels were asking me to do at that time, and I would sit on a low wall, a box or even on a doorstep. There was one lane, though, that I always avoided, the one where Mark had been gunned down. When work was over, I rushed down to the cloakroom, got my coat, went back up the stairs and out into the car park. Joe was already sitting in the car waiting for me. I was so happy to see him. We drove to the Phoenix Park, parked the car, and sat and talked. Joe said that if I liked, we could go looking for an engagement ring that weekend. I said that would be nice, but just to look at rings, not to buy. The angels had already told me that Joe would find the ring for me, but not in the normal way. Joe asked me if I would like to tell his mother about the engagement. I said no, I would rather wait till I had an engagement ring. We both agreed on that. Joe said, when we walk into the house with an engagement ring on your finger, she'll be so happy for both of us. We also decided that, even though we weren't planning to get married for a year or so, we would start to look for a place to live. As we pulled up outside my house, the hall door was open. DA came out and gave us a wave, before going back into the house and leaving the door open. That made Joe feel a little better, a bit more welcome. We went straight through to the kitchen. Mum was there. Joe greeted her and I started to make tea. What's up? Mum asked. Joe wants to talk to DA, I replied. I've been waiting for this day, my mother said with a look on her face. It was clear she disapproved. Your DA is in the dining room, reading the paper, she said rather dismissively. I'll tell him Joe wants to see him. Mum went into the dining room and closed the door behind her. This made Joe much more nervous. Why can't this be simple? He said. Mum was back in a minute or so and told Joe that he could go and talk to DA. Mum stayed in the kitchen with me while I was making the tea and buttering some bread and jam. She didn't say a word. Then she left the kitchen and went into the dining room. About 5 minutes later, when I had the tray ready, I carried it into the dining room. I felt Joe needed support, so I didn't wait for him to come out, and anyway I was dying to know my father's response. As I opened the door to the dining room I could see DA and Joe were sitting together on the sofa, and Mum was standing nearby. She hadn't sat down. I smiled when I saw Joe and DA together, they both looked very happy. DA was all smiles. He got up from the sofa and gave me a big hug and congratulated me. I was no longer worried, I was so happy. Even my mother's reaction didn't have the power to detract from the moment. DA was thrilled that I was getting married, and to a nice reliable man. In some ways he was probably relieved that now he wouldn't be responsible for me, and I felt Mum was relieved too, even if she had difficulties showing it. At some stage that evening DA said, I never thought I'd live to see this day. Even though I was now engaged to get married, I know that they were still apprehensive, because of the way they looked at me. DA started to ask Joe and I lots of questions about our plans. Mum, who had said nothing until then, asked if we had a date in mind for the wedding and we both replied, no together. Maybe August next year, Joe suggested. We'll have the wedding reception in the house, Mum said. I didn't say a word, I was horrified at the suggestion. DA said, we can talk about it all later. But that never happened. We finished tea, Joe said goodbye to DA and Mum and we walked out to the car. Joe said, don't be worried, if you don't want the reception in the house, we can find a hotel. That weekend Joe and I went looking at engagement rings, but I saw nothing that I liked in any of the jewelers. I told Joe, I would really like something different. All the engagement rings look more or less the same, no matter which jewelers you go to. I am willing to wait until I find the ring I really want. Are you sure? He asked. About 6 weeks later, I was working late one evening and not expecting to meet Joe as he was meant to be doing stock taking at the garage. I was going to catch the 8 o'clock bus home, but I got a great surprise to see Joe standing by the car in the car park when I went out. "Come on, let's go for an ice cream," he said. "You're in a wonderful humor," I said to him. "I'm still in my uniform, how can I go for an ice cream?" "That doesn't matter," Joe said. "You look beautiful to me. Now let's go and get that ice cream." We walked hand in hand to the ice cream parlor and sat facing each other in one of our favorite seats. I ordered a banana split and Joe ordered a sundae. Halfway through eating, Joe reached into his jacket breast pocket, saying, "I have a big surprise for you." He took out a little box and opened it. I couldn't believe it. There was a fabulous engagement ring shaped like a rose with petals in gold and a diamond set in the center. It was so different to all the other rings I had seen. Joe held my hand and, slipping the ring onto my finger, said, "I love you. I want to marry you and grow old with you." Hearing these words from Joe filled my eyes with tears. I was happy and yet I remembered what Angel Elijah had said to me all those years ago. That we would marry, Joe would become ill, I would have to look after him, and that we would never grow old together. "Don't cry," Joe said as he kissed my hand. I looked into his eyes and saw his happiness and forgot about the future. I leaned across the table and gave Joe a big kiss and asked him where he found the ring. "You wouldn't believe it," he said, "in the garage. We were very busy and I went outside to help at the petrol pumps just as a car pulled in with a puncture. I changed the wheel for him and brought the wheel around to the back to be repaired. As I was standing by his car, telling him the wheel would be ready in 20 minutes, I noticed the back seat of his car was covered with cases like little cabinets. Joe had asked him about the strange-looking cases and the man told him he was a jeweler. Joe continued, "I told the man I was looking for an engagement ring, but something completely different. The man said he had a small box with new designs of different kinds as some were rings. He opened the box and I saw this ring and I immediately knew it was perfect for you. I asked him if he would sell me the ring and he said he would have to check with his boss. We went into the office to phone him, and when we were there I showed your DA the ring. Your DA said I had done well and that this ring would make you happy, that it was a lovely ring. The man came off the phone and told me I could buy it." I gave Joe a big smile. "I don't want you to tell me how much it cost. I don't want to know that. Thank you for finding this beautiful engagement ring for me." I was thrilled. I was walking on air as we walked back to the car park. "I'm dying to show my ring to Mum and my sisters and brothers," I said. I don't remember the journey home, but I do remember walking in the back door into the kitchen with Joe right behind me. The kitchen was empty and I opened the door into the dining room. DA said, "What took you so long to get home?" "Well, I needn't show you my engagement ring, seeing as you have seen it already," I said. DA laughed and came over to me and gave me a big hug. I showed Mum my ring and told her to make a wish. Mum gave me a hug too and said, "It's very dainty." Joe had a cup of tea before heading home and I said, "Don't tell your mum about our engagement until after work tomorrow. We'll go to your house together, as usual, for dinner and then surprise her. Let's see if she notices the ring on my finger." The next day, that is exactly what we did. We were sitting at the table and as Joe's mum was putting my dinner in front of me, she let out a scream, saying, "Lorna, you have an engagement ring on. Stand up so I can hug my future daughter-in-law." Joe's mum always made me feel so welcome. I was fascinated, because within what seemed like only minutes, the members of Joe's family who lived close by started to call to the house to congratulate us. Within about an hour, family that lived further afield also started arriving. I was being fussed over by something that rarely happened to me. I loved the excitement. At about 11 o'clock I told Joe he had better drive me home because I had work in the morning. I said goodbye to Joe's mum and she gave me a big hug. I could feel the happiness and joy in her. She was more at peace within herself now that she could see her dream coming true. Her youngest son was engaged. Her hug was so tight I could feel and see her guardian angel hugging me too.